We've seen and we've studied many articles and furnitures inside of the Holy of Holies and the holy place of the tabernacle. All of them points to the one direction, that is the work of Jesus Christ and the person of Jesus Christ. Now we come to the people who are serving in that tabernacle area. Levites are the ones who maintain and taking care of this tabernacle, and this Aaron and his sons are the priests. Aaron himself is the high priest of this tabernacle. It was God's desire for the nation of Israel to be the holy nation, set apart for God, to serve God. The kingdom of priests in the world, they're revealing His glory and letting people know that there is one true God. However, the spiritual leadership of the Israel deteriorate to the point the priest is the other one who is introducing and allowing the people to worship idols in the very temple of God. Now, the Israel failed to live like a priest, a kingdom of priests. And instead of that, instead of living like a kingdom of priests, they were mixing just about every single idol they can find. Today, God wants us to do the same thing. The believers of Jesus Christ, we are to be the holy and royal priesthood. We are supposed to represent Jesus Christ to the people in this carnal world. We are not supposed to be transformed, be conformed into this world, but be transformed to the image of Jesus Christ by renewing our heart. In spite of that call, a lot of churches somehow embrace the liberal social agenda and the popularity of them among people. They rather go the other way. So they turn away from God and turn to the social things. They're forgetting that God is God and that He is not one person we don't want to mess around. If God's people are faithful in their priestly ministry, they will proclaim the praise of God and who called them out of the darkness into the wonderful and marvelous light. As we study the Old Testament, the priesthood, and we will find a significant parallel line between the Old Testament priesthood, that's what we're going to study, garments, and what they are supposed to do next chapter, and how they need to be consecrate themselves, we will find the same line in what we are supposed to do as the born-again Christian of Jesus Christ. So don't think that, well, this is just some stupid things that the Old Testament people did. No, it is not. The more we dig in, the more we realize everything pointing us to Jesus Christ. We studied the verse 1 of chapter 28 of Book of Exodus, and we will start with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the word we are about to receive. We are asking You hand be upon us. Let our heart be open to receive Your wisdom, to understand Your stature and precept and principles of Your word. That we may be enlightened, we may understanding Your truth. And most of all, let us be like Jesus, to glorify the Father in heaven. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1. Now take Aaron your brother and his son with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister to me as a priest. Aaron and Aaron's son, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, Ithamar, and you shall make a holy garment for Aaron your brother for glory and for beauty. So you shall speak to all who are gifted artisans, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garment to consecrate him, that he may minister to me as a priest. And these are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate, an ephod, a robe, a skillfully woven tunic, and turban, and a sash. So they shall make a holy garment for Aaron and your brother, and his sons, that he may minister to me as priest. They shall take a gold, blue, purple, and a scarlet thread, and the fine linen. In order of the Aaron to serve as high priest, he had to have a holy garment. Now, the word holy in Hebrew word means set apart. So anything we do, anything we set apart for God is holy. For example, if you set apart a certain amount of money to be used to use for the kingdom of God, that money is holy. If you choose to set a time aside so that you may serve God, that time is holy. And what you're doing is holy. Anything we set apart for God is holy. God's people today must remember that our first obligation is to please not your husband, not your wife, not your kid, not your pastor, if that will be the first, but to love God. Note that word, please. Love God and serve Him. If we do this, he will work in us, through us, and to accomplish His will in this world. When Jesus restored Peter after His resurrection, He didn't ask, do you love this ministry? Do you like this guy? But the repeated question He asked to Peter is what? Do you love who? Me, Jesus. The reason is because Jesus wants to know if His focus is on Jesus or somebody else. Our foremost important obligation and privilege is to love the Lord, and all the ministry flow out of that relationship. If we don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that's a business. Let me put it this way. If you come here and serve God, but you don't love God, you don't care about God, that you're just doing business. Your foremost important thing, most important goal for the ministry is because you love God, you couldn't stay away from Him, you want to do something for Him, and that is a ministry. Without that relationship, you cannot have anything else. So, in serving God and people, high priest would have to have a 7-piece of garment. You will see this. First, start with the undergarment. Of course, we cannot see his undergarment, obvious reason. And then underneath here is a white inner robe he will wear first, and on top of it, blue robe and a belt and a fabric pomegranate. Here's a fabric pomegranate, and there's a bell. One pomegranate and a bell, pomegranate and bell. Why mix them like that? So the bells are not clanging together. But there is a fabric. We'll talk about the bell a little bit later. As we go up to his waist, we have a girdle around his waist. And ephod, this is the ephod, going around from here and back and clasped together on the top shoulder here. Ephod is sleeveless garment. Ephod is Hebrew word for the sleeveless garment. Gold, blue, purple, and scarlet, and held together by the jeweled clasp on each shoulder here. Onyx, the stone on the top. We'll talk more about it again. In the front, there is a 9-square inch here, the jeweled breastplate held in place, and the ephod with a gold chain attached to the shoulder clasp. And on the top, we have a white linen turban, golden plate in the front. It says, Holiness to the Lord. This is the garment he's supposed to wear before he enter into the Holy of Holy. He cannot just walk in with blue jeans and white shirts or t-shirts. He had to have a certain garment to serve God. What's that got to do with us? We have to wear those things spiritually, if I may say. We'll continue in verse 6, please. Now we are going to find ephod. And they shall make an ephod of gold, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine woven linen, artistically worked. This it shall have a 2 shoulder straps joined at its 2 edges, and so it shall be joined together. And intricately woven band of ephod, which is on it, it shall be the same workmanship, made of gold, blue, purple, scarlet thread, and fine woven linen. Then you shall take two onyx stones, engraved on them the name of the sons of Israel, six of their names on the one stone and six on the other stone in order of their birth. There, with the works of the engravers on in stone, like engraving of the signet. And you shall engrave the two stones with the name of the sons of Israel. You shall set them in the setting of gold, and you shall put two stones on the shoulders of the ephod as a memorial stone for the sons of Israel. So the Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord for his two shoulders as a on his two shoulders as a memorial. You shall also make a setting of gold, and you shall make two chains of pure gold like a braided cord, and fasten the braided chain to the setting. As I said, ephod is the Hebrew word for the sleeveless, simple sleeveless garment. Significant things about this ephod is not the fabric nor its color, but it's two stones on his shoulder, on onyx stone, has six names on each side, representing each tribe of Israel, and by birth order, six on this side, six on the other side. In other words, in Bible, shoulder represent power. So this man, high priest, is carrying the 12 tribes with the power, presenting 12 tribes to God in power. Remember this, folks. Priests represent people to God. However, prophet represent God to people. In other words, the priest is the one who is to bring the people's request, people's need to God, and presenting to God, while prophet is the one who received the word of God, oracle of God, and telling the people about what God wants them to do. Do you remember parable Jesus said to us and through one of his gospels? As a matter of fact, there are a couple of them mentioned about this. And he mentioned that the shepherd lose his one of his sheep. And he go out look for this sheep. And when he find this sheep, what does he do? He put the sheep on his shoulder and carry the sheep on his shoulder. That's what Jesus is doing with us. When we go through a difficult time, he carries us on his shoulder spiritually. That's a beautiful picture of Jesus Christ. The ephod is representing, again, pointing to the Jesus Christ, what he does. Verse 15, you shall make a breastplate of judgment, artistically woven according to workmanship of the ephod. You shall make it of gold, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine woven linen. You shall make it. It shall be doubled with a square span, shall be its length, a span shall be its width. And you shall put the setting of the stone in it, and four rows of stones. First row shall be sardis, topaz, and emerald. And the lady's thinking, ooh, let me have the breastplate. This shall be the first row, and the second row shall be the turquoise, sapphire, and diamond. And the lady's thinking, oh yeah, I'm all over that, huh? Third row, and jacinth, and agate, and amethyst. And the fourth row, beryl, and onyx, and jasper. This shall be set in the gold setting, and, put in the wrong order. Stone shall have the names of sons of Israel, 12 according to their names, like an engraving of the signet, each one with their own name. And they shall be according to the 12 tribes, and you shall make a chain for the breastplate at the end, like a braided cord of pure gold. And you shall make two rings of gold for the breastplate, and put the two rings on the two ends of the breastplate. Then you shall put the two braided chain of gold in the two rings, which are on the end of the breastplate. And the other two ends of the braided chain you shall fasten to the two settings. and put them on the shoulder strap of the ephod in the front. You shall make two rings of gold, put them on the two ends of the breastplate on the edge of it, which is inner side of the ephod. And two other rings of gold you shall make, and put them on the two shoulder straps underneath the ephod toward its front, and right at the seam above the intricately woven band of the ephod. They shall bind in the breastplate by the means of its strings to the rings of ephod, using blue cord, so that it is above the intricately woven band of the ephod, so that the breastplate does not come loose from the ephod. So Aaron shall bear the name of the sons of Israel on the breastplate of judgment over his heart, when he goes into the holy place as a memorial before the Lord continually. And you shall put the breastplate of judgment, Urim and Thummim, then, and they shall be over Aaron's heart when he goes in before the Lord, so that Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel over his heart before the Lord continually. This breastplate we just read, and 12 stones, 3 for each rod, and there are 4 of them, and each one has a bearing the name of these tribes. So in other words, when the high priest wears this garment, he not only has 6 names on each side of his shoulder, also he carries the names of each tribe near his heart. Folks, that's what Jesus did. He not only carried, he remembered us, and when he carried the cross on his shoulder, but he died with a broken heart and remembering us. Let me put it this way. As Christian, which means, many of you know, being Christ-like, we are supposed to do the same thing. Helping people and meeting their spiritual needs are what ministry is all about. If we are not going to help other people, we are not going to have the patient love toward them, and at the same time sacrificing our convenience for the sake of helping other people, that is not ministry. There is a difference between ministry and business. If we treat the business, ministry like a business, as I said before, there's no relationship with Jesus Christ. If we eliminate the relationship with Jesus Christ between you and God and myself and God, that is no longer ministry. It becomes a business, church business. We cannot turn in church into business. I've heard some people said, well, we need to be efficient, so we have to bring this new business tactic, business method into the church. There's a great Greek word for that. Bogus. Hogwash. We don't run church according to business method that the people have in the world. We do what God says. Some of you may wonder, do you have a church budget? No, we don't. We don't know how much we're going to have. We just do what God says. And do you have a 5-year plan? No, I don't. I don't know if I'm going to live next year, until next year. So if I drop dead, somebody else who is better than me will come over and take over. God's work will continue. It doesn't matter what person is there or not. You know, some people say this. I've noticed some of the big mega church has a main man insurance. Have you ever heard that? A key man insurance. This key man insurance, they have this pastor insure him for the $2 million or $5 million. So church is paying for that. In case that person dropped dead, the congregation will, attendance will drop, so they have extra money coming in for that in case. Why don't we, if we're going to have a key man insurance, why don't we have a key man insurance for Jesus? Don't let me go there. Urim and Thummim is a kind of method asking God what we need, what these people had to do. Some people say it was a white stone and black stone, whatever he pulled out from this breastplate pouch, and they will do that. We don't know. When the Bible is silent, I'd rather be silent. I'd rather not go into speculation. God bless you. So we'll just move on. We are not going to expound on that thing. However, folks, we have something better than worm. Worm and thummim. We have something better than worm and thummim. You know what that is? You have it. Right here. This Word of God is better than anything else. It's not something you can just pull out and, okay, what do you want me to do? Here, open it up. You try that, see what happened. And there's one person who tried that, and he went like this. And Judah hung himself. Okay, this cannot be good. So let me try again. He flipped it again. He looked at it. Do likewise. Folks, Bible is not some crystal ball. Crystal ball is just stupid crystal ball. It's nothing more, nothing less. Crystal ball does not tell you what to do. Urim and Thummim will not tell you we have a better one. This is the voice of God. The more you know about this, the Word of God revealed the God of Word. It talks about His character. It talks about His desire. It talks about His purpose for His people. The better we know the Word of God, the better we get to know God. And when we get to know God better, we can discover His will for us. Listen carefully, please. God's Word contains a precept for us to obey, warning for us to heed, and promise for us to claim, and principle for us to follow. If we're sincerely willing to obey the Word of God, it's not that difficult for us to follow God. That's why when I do the counseling, the first thing I do, it doesn't matter if they ask me what is the marital counseling or whatever the counseling is, the first thing I do is, if I tell you what to do from the Word of God, would you do it? If they say yes, we continue. If they say no, let's stop. Because you're not going to hear something better from me than the Word of God says. You follow me? Word of God is the most important thing in your life to follow. Verse 31. You shall make the robe of the ephod all of blue, that there shall be an opening for his head in the middle of it. It shall have a woven binding all around its opening, like an opening of the coat of mail, and so that it does not tear. And upon its hem you shall make a pomegranate of blue and purple and scarlet all around the hem, its hem, and bell of gold between them all around, and golden bell and pomegranate upon the hem of the robe all around. And it shall be upon Aaron when he ministereth, and its sounds shall be heard when he goes into the holy place before the Lord, and when he comes out, that he may not die. Pomegranate speaks of fruitfulness, and the bell speaks of witness. We should have both this in our lives. We ought to have a witness of Jesus Christ, and at the same time, we ought to have a fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Too many people want to have witness, but they don't have a life to back it up. On the other hand, other people have a life to back it up, but they'd rather not witness. High priests have to be right with God before he enters into the Holy of Holy. His life and his action, his word have to be right. If his action is not right, if he has any sin in his life, guess what happened to him? As he walk in, you can hear his jingling sound as he take a step. Of course, before he walk in, they tie the rope around his ankle. As he walk around, he will hear the sound. So everybody's standing at the tent flap. Yeah, I hear the sound. I hear the sound. Jingle, 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 jingle. Clunk. Okay, he's dead. Pull him out. And then next. It's worse than the hangman's news, isn't it? Aren't you glad God no longer kill people because they have a sin. If that's the case, none of us will live. None of us. Because none of us is perfect. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Verse 36. You shall also make a plate of pure gold and engrave on it like an engraving of a signet, holding it to the Lord, and then you shall put it on blue cord. It may be on the turban. It shall be on the front of the turban. So it shall be Aaron's forehead, and Aaron may bear the iniquities of the holy things, which the children of Israel hallowed, and all their holy gifts. And it shall always be on his forehead, that they may be accepted before the Lord. You shall skillfully weave the tunic of linen, fine linen thread, and you shall make a turban of fine linen, and you shall make a sash of woven work. Turban is only worn by the high priest. It comes to shock to many of us. Jesus did not die to make us happy. You get it? Let me repeat one more time. Jesus didn't die to make us happy, but rather the sinner become holy through his blood. First step toward the happiness is holiness. If we are right with God because we do what he tells us to do and we obey and frequently and come to him. Whenever we sin against God, we come to him, ask forgiveness. We deal with that sin right away, and we stay pure. When we do that, when we aim for the holiness, guess what happens? We achieve happiness. Let me put it this way. If we aim for happiness, we will miss it. But if we aim for the holiness, and we will also find happiness in the Lord. I find several contrasts between the Jesus' clothing and when he accomplished his great priestly work on the cross as a high priest. Let's do one at a time. First one is that Jesus wore no beautiful ephod, only purple robe that the Roman soldiers used as mocking. Jesus has no precious gem on his shoulder, only cross that we deserve. Jesus has no breastplate with the Israel on his heart, yet he died with a broken heart, and Israel and all of us. As a high priest, Jesus had a seamless robe that it was not torn, but it was stripped away on the cross. It was cast, the lot was cast for who's going to take this robe. Jesus had no delicate sound of bell proving that high priest is alive, but only sound of pounding nail ensuring our high priest's death. Jesus wore no fine linen turban, but rather painful crown of thorns. Jesus had no head plate reading the holiness to the Lord, but and the life and death shadow, nothing but the holiness to the Lord. Jesus has no linen trouser to hide his nakedness. Rather, he bore our sin on the cross in naked shame. Don't ever think that crucifixion was a little pretty stature. Crucifixion was gory and inhumane. He did all of that for you and me. Verse 40. For Aaron's son, you shall make a tunic, and you shall make a sash for them, and you shall make a hat for them, for glory and beauty. And you shall put them on Aaron, your brother, and his sons with them. You shall anoint them and consecrate them and sanctify them, that they may minister to me as a priest. And you shall make for them a linen trouser to cover their nakedness. They shall reach from waist to the thigh, and they shall be on Aaron and on Aaron's son when he come into the tabernacle of meeting, or when they come near the altar to minister in the holy place, that they do not incur the iniquity and die. This shall be the statute forever to him and his descendant after him. Nobody who is working wholeheartedly to the Lord will deny that there is a joy in serving Jesus. At the same time, we must cultivate the reverence and godly fear. Folks, fearing the Lord doesn't mean that we are flat out scared of God, but rather being reverent and humble before our loving Father and precious Lord. Somehow, some people think that when I get to heaven, I'll say, "Hey, what's up, JC? I don't think you will do that. We will fall on our face and worship Him." While we study this chapter, we couldn't help ourselves but to think that the priest's garment is rather elaborate and very expensive, with all this pure gold and precious gems. That brings it to me to another point. Somehow, for some reason, some people think that being a Christian means you have to have run-down clothes and ugly duckling the car that make a funny sound. And all the time you have to speak the word of God and wave the Bible at people's face. That's not what we're supposed to do. If you read the Bible, you will find everything he does is first class, above first class. Everything he does is beautiful. Everything he does is nice. That doesn't mean I'm endorsing the people to run out the door and buy best clothes you can find with a charge a credit card, and so you can be look like the one who walked just step out of fashion plate. But it would be nice representation as a Christian if you do the personal hygiene and keep yourself neat and clean. Nothing wrong with that. And I've seen some of the Christians who just, I can smell them before they even come. Why does it have to be that way? We are supposed to be courteous. We're supposed to be nice to people, even they are ugly to us. You know, when I became a Christian, I didn't know better. So I used to be just obnoxious, pounding people with the Bible. I think I pushed the people far away from God rather more than to bring them to a cross. Folks, be nice to the non-believers. They might be non-believers. They are not stupid. Bring them to cross with love by being nice. Nothing wrong with that. Let's make an application. Number one, our foremost important obligation and privilege is to love the Lord. All ministry flow out of that relationship. Second, helping people and meeting their spiritual need is what ministry is all about. This demands a great deal of patient love on our part and willingness to sacrifice the convenience for the sake of others. We are holy and royal priesthood, but we are also constantly the loving priesthood. Thirdly, God's word contains a precept for us to obey, warning for us to heed, promise for us to claim, and principle for us to follow. If we are sincerely willing to obey, God is willing to direct us. Fourth, if we aim for happiness, we'll miss it. But if we aim for the holiness, we will also find happiness in the Lord. Let's stand up and pray.